Just while I'm standing and Brother James is coming, he doesn't really need an introduction, but his Brother James Sproul, his 24th visit, as best we can articulate it. We weren't counting, but after it got to be a few, we thought we would. It's good to see Mr. and Mrs. Adam Haslett here today. That would be Sydney. And I'll sing you a little theme song when I see you in the foyer. I won't embarrass you now. But let's have a hand for marriage.
Amen. Well, it's wonderful to be here. I know that you younger people don't understand this, but for those of us who have some miles on us, isn't it amazing how fast time goes by? Just, I can't believe it. I like to tell people the fastest 20 years of my life was from 50 to 70. You're not old at 50, but 70, you know, you're starting to get wrinkled. But what a joy and privilege to be with you. I always take this serious, and I'm so blessed to be here and to share Jesus with you. I have been thinking a lot in the last few years about the Lord's return. Maybe that's because I'm older and I know I'm going to see him one way or another before long. I don't know, but Mary and I have been reading, and I am amazed at what's happening in our world today. There is a convergence of spiritual issues, political issues. It's amazing how things are coming together. Jesus said, when you see all these things, look up. Your redemption draws nigh. And I don't know when it'll be. The Bible says no man knows the day nor the hour, but it also teaches we should be smart enough, if we're paying attention, to know the season. And I'm absolutely convinced we're in the season of the Lord's return. I happen to believe in the rapture of the church, of people who are ready, who are prepared in their hearts. Not just people who go to church, but people who are spiritually prepared. I believe that for several reasons. Thessalonians, and I won't take time to go there, Paul addresses this issue. And Paul also says that God has not appointed his people, his church, under wrath. Some people have a difficult time with thinking of a God who can be wrathful. In what is called the tribulation period, in the last part of that period of time, the book of Revelation very clearly says God pours out his wrath because of his anger against the sin and the evil that's in the world. He did that before when with the great flood, but he always had a way of escape. And I've also believed, and I'm laying a foundation, if you wonder what I'm saying, for what I'm going to share with you in the next few minutes. I've also believed that when that event happens, whenever it is, that it will be at the Jewish feast of the Feast of Trumpets. Because it talks about, and the trump shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Uses the word, or we could say shofar if you're Jewish, because Jesus' death for us, his atonement as the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, took place at the Passover feast. And then when he sent his Spirit to his church, that was at Pentecost. And so it just is logical to me, and I think to most of us, that the rapture, or that event that is promised by Jesus himself, that he would come again. This same Jesus that you have seen go will so come in like manner, that event would parallel another Jewish feast, which happens to be going on right now, the Feast of Trumpets. It's 10 days when the shofar is blown every day, and I've got my Jewish calendar, but I didn't see exactly what is the very last day of the Feast of Trumpets, when they will blow the trumpet. Somewhere I remember a scripture in the Bible that speaks of the last trump. And so I told my wife when I left home, we want to be ready if this is it this year. And I tell Jesus, you have to take care of our cats. We used to have a dog. And I told Mary, make sure you put out some extra food and all, so somebody that's left behind can find them. Jesus teaches, spends a lot of time in the book of Matthew where he talks about the 10 virgins, 5 wise and 5 were foolish. I'm trying to understand that. I've been thinking about that passage a long time. He doesn't talk about 5 Christians and 5 unsaved people. It's interesting to me that he says they're all virgins. And when the groom came, only 5 of them were ready. They didn't go to the marriage feast. 5 of them were left out. I've wondered if that could represent the division, the spiritual division that exists in the church. That division being those who really are living for Jesus and are ready in their hearts, walking in the Spirit, and those who just mentally give assent to Christianity and go to church, and they would consider themselves Christian because that's their belief system, but their lamp is void of oil. So the question becomes, how can we be ready? What do we have to do to be ready? That's the issue. He said, be ready. Being ready is important. And I think the most important thing to be ready is to pay attention to what Jesus said. We don't have to wonder about that. I was reading recently, studying about how many times Jesus spoke of first. Take care of first things first. Which means there are some primary things that are most important. For instance, Matthew 23:26, Jesus said, blind Pharisee, first cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, that the outside of them may be clean. In other words, Jesus is touching on this issue that for him, the most important thing is our heart. The Bible says God looks on the heart. Man looks outwardly. We see the wrinkles, the imperfections. You know, none of us are perfect. But God always sees the heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. In other words, your mouth expresses what's in your heart. And he said, first. You can't fix yourself or be ready because of just what you do outwardly. You can go to church 7 days a week, 2 times a day. You could be baptized. And I appreciate so much what they said about this. Baptism is an expression of what has already happened in your heart. Jesus sees my heart. And I don't have to be worried. It simplifies it. I don't have to be worried about events or when it's going to happen or what's going to happen and live in stress. He says, James, just live with a heart that's right. Just get your heart right. First. That's what he said. First. Cleanse the inside. In other words, say, Lord, here's my heart. I think of what Jesus said, Matthew, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Because we see him because he sees our heart. So first things first, if we want to be ready. You got to take care of these things. Then another first that Jesus spoke about that will help us be ready. And this is amazing. But I say unto you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be in danger of the judgment. I'm going to skip a little here and go on down. And he says, if therefore you bring your offering to the altar, in other words, if you're trying to say you're a Christian and you're trying to serve God, and you may look pretty good outside because you're doing all the right things and you're not doing some things, what Jesus is saying, that if you try to bring that to me, He said, first be reconciled to your brother, and then come and bring yourself. And that is so reflective of what Jesus teaches in all the New Testament. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and what? And your neighbor as yourself. I was thinking about this and praying about it and thinking, Lord, please search my heart. Do I have anything against anyone? You know, do I need to apologize to someone? Do I need to ask forgiveness? This is the enemy's turf. You know, he doesn't care how religious you appear on the outside. If he can put and keep the virus of unforgiveness in your heart, there's someone you haven't forgiven, it's a festering wound, then Jesus says to us, if you want to be ready for my coming, if you want to live ready at any time, there is no dread, you don't even worry about it, you just live your life for my glory because you're ready, and whenever it happens, if it's this year, if it's next week, if it's 10 years or 50 years, you'll be ready because your heart's ready. Amen? God wants to have a ready heart. And let me ask you, you know, everybody may think you look good and you're doing all the right things. Is there anything you need to take care of with another person? Are you holding a grudge? If you are, he says, first, before you try to serve me, make that right. Get it right. Let it go. Give it to me, Jesus would say. It's such an important, important issue in all of our lives that we keep the way clear. I was so impressed when my father died. I got his billfold out. And he had a little, I don't know if I've ever told you this, Carrie. He had a little piece of paper in his billfold. And it looked like it had been there a long time. And on that piece of paper, he had written a piece of pie. And he had two or three things. And what the piece of pie was about, it was pie that he had eaten or gotten or stolen or something and never paid for. When he became a Christian, I was with him when he went to see a man to ask him for forgiveness because my dad had threatened to kill him. In other words, what was my dad doing? He was getting his heart right. He was getting everything right. Then you have the peace of God. You don't have to live your life, oh, I wonder if I'm a Christian, I wonder if I'm ready. You know, you can't get ready by what you do as actions. You get ready because your heart is right and you obey God and you keep everything right between you and people. They may not forgive you, but you can forgive them no matter what they did. And you say, well, that's tough, I know. But Jesus forgave you and look what we've done to him. So first things first. That's what's so important. Jesus did a first thing that is humorous to me. And it speaks to the point of being ready, getting ready. In Luke 6:42, he said, how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck that's in your eye when you yourself do not see the plank in your own eye? I think Jesus was being humorous personally. This is the vision he wanted us to have of what he just said, you know. I mean, that's it right there. Man, and you know what I think this addresses? Oh, mercy, this is on camera. My wife will kill me. But do you know what this is about? Jesus wanted them, you know, he said, how can you try to get the speck of dust out of Carrie's eye, and I got this huge plank in my eye. It's one of our problems of blaming. It's always the other person. You know, you got a problem. You got a problem. You got a speck in your eye. Let me get it out. And we never really see that we have a problem too. Deal with ourselves first. I only have to answer to me. I don't have to answer for you. Nobody stands with us when we stand before God and give an account. We stand alone. So it's between me and God. And I need to be willing to say, Lord, I've got a beam in my eye. You know, I'm judgmental. I can be hateful. I can be harsh. It's not always the other person's fault. If you hadn't have done it, if you just hadn't said it. What's Jesus saying here? He's saying first, before you start trying to do that, you need to look at yourself. That's so vitally important. This leads us, and I know we run out of time, but this leads us to another first. He said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these other things will take care of themselves. And they will. If our priority is the pursuit of His kingdom, His rule, His reign in our lives, don't ask Jesus to rule the world and reign over the world till you first ask Him to rule and reign over your life. Because He rules from our hearts and our lives. And when He said, seek first, put first things first. That sounds simple, but it can be a struggle, isn't it, in our world. In your marriage, first things first. Relationship. In your work, in your life, first things first. Makes all the difference in the world. And that's how we are made ready. Because we bring our hearts to Him and He forgives us. He paid for our sins. And then we walk putting first things first. We keep our relationships in a way that honors Him. We deal with our hurts and our pains. And that's what makes us ready. I was thinking about when we were kids, we used to play hide and seek and somebody would be the seeker, you know, and they'd have to count to 20 or 100 while everybody went running to hide somewhere. And then you'd hear the person say, ready or not, here I come. And that's the way it's going to be in the world with Jesus. One of these days, it's going to be ready or not, here I come. I woke up last Saturday night about 2:30 with just these simple words in my mind. Ready, set, go. I wasn't sure what that meant. I thought, Lord, are you saying I'm fixing to go? or is that for Harrisonburg? And I kind of felt like it's for all of us. Ready? Are you ready? Jesus said, be also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man's coming. In other words, when our world is like the time of Noah, it says they were eating and drinking. It's not condemning that, giving in marriage. In other words, they were just preoccupied with the moment until suddenly the rain started. And He said the world would be like that when He returned. There is a convergence right now of issues that we really, if we take our heads out of the sand, we'll see we could very well be in the season of the return of Christ. It's a real thing. The same Jesus you've seen go will so come in like manner. When you see all these things, look up for your redemption. So be ready. Trim your lamps. In His parable of the 10 virgins, the issue was preparation, being ready, having the life. The oil is representative of the Holy Spirit. And some of them ran out of oil. And I see them, they had a lamp, they had a form of godliness, they had a form of religion. but they have no life and relationship. And that's how you're ready, relationship. Nobody who has a relationship with Jesus will be lost. In fact, I put it this way, and you don't have to agree with this. Nobody who loves Jesus will go to hell. Nobody. If I had a choice, Pastor Kerry, I would rather have bad theology and love Jesus, because I'd still go to heaven if I loved him. And there are some people who have their theology all right, man, every jot and tittle. They've got it all figured out, but they don't love Jesus. I go with the first guy. I don't know about you. Because to be ready is to have a relationship with Jesus. Well, I want to share something with you as we close. I've watched people who are ready die. And I want to be ready if Jesus raptures us and we are changed in the moment of a twinkling of an eye. Just important to be ready however you transition. My son-in-law, David, I loved him. He was a son to me. We worked together for years, 52 years of age. He just fought a two-year battle with cancer. Cancer didn't win. David's still alive. Amen. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So he's in heaven, and he's going to preach a little bit to you now, my son David. I want to play for you the song. He had a degree in music, but you can tell when he sings here, he was weak and frail. This is his last song, the last time he ever sang. And this was totally unplanned. I just happened to record it. Didn't even think about using it when I came up here. And the Lord said, why don't you let David preach a little? He was ready. And he'll give you, David is about to give you the secret of being ready for life. Not just for his coming or for your death, but being ready for life, to do life, knowing that whenever it happens, it's okay. So here's David, just a few months ago, before he went to be with the Lord, in a song reminding of what's number one, of what's first, of what's primary. Take a listen.
You know, what I want him to say when I finally get to heaven is simply this: well done, thy good and faithful servant. And I believe that that's possible for all of us if we just keep our eyes on Jesus. Keep our eyes on him. We're human beings. We are weak, but he is strong. And I'll just sing it. I don't know if I'll start in the right key, and this is not for perfection's sake. I'm just singing you a song that I used to sing in the car or in my moments of darkness. In the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, give me Jesus, give me Jesus, give me Jesus, you can have all this world, but give me Jesus. And when I come to die, and when I come to die, and when I come to die, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus, you can have all this world. You can have all this world, but give me Jesus.
Today I'm going to ask Mandy to come and play. play on the keys. And I just sensed the same thing this service that I did the previous service. And that is, we ought to just make it known that the altars are open today. And the question is very, very simplistic yet profound. Are you ready? Am I ready to meet Jesus? Am I ready to go to meet God? Monday, with our pastoral staff, I had a time of, I guess, devotion, you could call it. And I asked them a very pointed question. Do you believe that there is an actual day when Jesus is coming again? We talk about it, especially those of us who hang around the church. It's in our dialogue. It's part of our process of thinking. But do we really believe Jesus is coming again? Do we believe what the angel said to the disciples when Jesus ascended? Why do you stand here looking up into the clouds? This same Jesus will come again the same way he just left. He's coming again, and we'll either be ready or not. He's done all he can do to love us into loving him. We will be without excuse if we're not ready, because that's the reason he came, was so that we can have an avenue, a preparation. God sends no one to hell. If you believe that, you've been given a line of malarkey. God sends no one to hell. He sent his Son. He provided a way out. And Jesus said, I am the way. I'm the way for you to be ready. I'm the truth of your readiness. I'm the one who gives you life after death. But he gives us that life for after death, before we die. And that's how David McCullough, 52 years old, that's how he could put his arm around his wife Megan and James's daughter in the very last moments and say, it's real, it's real. Because he was ready. He was ready in Christ. And so today, if I thought I could scare you to the altar, I'd do it. You'd thank me later. But it's more than a trip to the altar. This is just a good place to do get ready business with God, a place to kneel. And while your emotions are in that spot, while your focus is on the topic, it's a good place to get oil in your lamp before you get distracted by the world. And so, as Mandy plays the keys for just a little while, it's between you and God. It's not between me, you, and God. If you just want to come and just pray, what would I pray, Pastor? Well, there's a great prayer that we're given in Scripture. Jesus hanging on the cross, and there's a criminal hanging next to him. He didn't come to his cross ready to die, but he's decided he's going to be ready before he leaves his cross. And he looks over at Jesus, the Savior of the world, and he says, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. That was the prayer he prayed to get ready. And you know what Jesus said after that really simplistic prayer? He said something really profound. He said, today you will be with me in paradise. That means today you'll be with me in my kingdom. And so basically, when the criminal prayed, remember me, Jesus, when you come into your kingdom, he basically prayed the prayer Jesus taught us right at the beginning. Your kingdom come, your will be done. And you know what the will of Jesus is? that we'd be ready. Jesus is not going to be happy in the final day for those who are not ready. I believe even now he's weeping in the throne room for anyone in this service who is not yet ready to meet him. And if he comes before this Feast of Trumpets is over and the last shofar is sounded in Jerusalem and throughout the world, we can be ready. If he doesn't come, we'll be ready when he does blow the shofar. When the trumpet sounds, we'll be ready. So, just for a few moments, the altar's open. Some have come. You don't have to wait for me to quit talking before you come. If he's inviting you, I would just encourage you to submit to that invitation. As those in the sanctuary are coming, this service goes live, Facebook Live. And last week we had 40 worshipers live with us on Facebook. And James said earlier that that Mary was going to get him because this service was on video. Well, Mary's watching in Nashville area. I'm pretty sure she already got the information, but there are a lot of other people that may be watching today. You may not be here live in this room, but I want you to know Jesus knows where you are. And today, maybe you'd like to pray that prayer. Why don't you just kneel where you are? If you drive in the car, keep your eyes open, look forward. But if you happen to be home or in a hotel or you're on vacation and this message has resonated with you, just pray the prayer. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom and you turn today from darkness and you turn to light. And I want you to know your worship there electronically is just as important as what we're doing here in this room. As a matter of fact, you're with us. We count you right now. You matter. Just a few more moments. Are you ready? As I got out of my car today, I thought, what a beautiful September morning. There's an old Happy Goodman family song. What a beautiful day for the Lord to come again. I'll tell you, it would be okay with me if before this season of trumpets ends, that this would be, you know, this is the year of Jubilee, 50 years. You know, who knows? We don't know the day or the hour, but I believe he's coming. He could have arranged this revival weekend as our last opportunity to get ready. It's just possible. And if he did, he's a great, great God, multiplied more than we've imagined, that he would give us Paul Wilbur here on a Thursday night, whose job description is to lead people into the presence of God. And about 600 folk found that to be reality on Thursday evening. I have no doubt that people got their hearts right and ready with God on Thursday night. And then, you know, Friday, we had a lunch hour. It was so beautiful with Brother James. And then Friday evening, we had a beautiful service. And then a great meal yesterday together. And last evening, such a God-visited service. And now today, he's so real. I've never known him more real than he is right now in these moments. He's reaching for us. He wants us to be ready. For those who were kneeling and those who are kneeling, just pray, echo this prayer in your heart with me. Father God, thank you for sending your Son and for allowing your Holy Spirit today to remind me that you want me to be ready. When you return, it will be a surprise, but you do not want it to be a tragedy for me. And so in this service today, I turn from darkness and sin, and I turn toward the light and him, yes, the one who died on the center cross for me. Jesus, today I ask forgiveness of my sins. I pray that you would wash me within, and I'll be baptized. Next time this church advertises it, if not sooner, I will be baptized. I will go public. I will be unashamed that I am ready with you. Redeemed by you. Restored through you. Lord, today, make me alive spiritually. Alive to Almighty God. I thank you today for saving my soul. And I want my prayer to echo David's song. Give me Jesus. In the morning when I rise, give me Jesus. And when I come to die, you can have all this world. Give me Jesus. Living ready is the only way to truly live. Everything else is merely existing. Thank you, Jesus. And those who are praying, you can pray if you want to continue. You're also welcome to return to your seat as we close the service. I want to say a little bit about my gratitude to those of you who made this weekend happen. I am so blessed with staff, but also volunteers who just know how to make a revival weekend a reality. And I'm so grateful. Yesterday we had the green bean cook-off, it seemed to be. But we had an awful lot of fried chicken and ham and biscuits and cookies and cakes. And what a wonderful dinner on the ground, old-fashioned dinner on the ground we had yesterday, right over here in the shade of our building. Wonderful. Thank you for making that reality. Thursday evening, a miracle happened in this room. Back a few months ago, I sensed the Lord very strongly say to me, you have an opportunity to have Paul Wilbur, world-renowned worship leader, been on every continent, to be in a small venue like yours, and you better say yes to it. I felt it was an obedient thing to have him here, and it was good for my soul. But, you know, I put my name on the line for that concert. I guaranteed them that I personally would be responsible for the bill. And we gave free tickets, and the enemy tried to fight me about how stupid all that was. But I think whenever you worship God, it's not stupid. I think it's splendid. But you all helped make the miracle happen, and other people who aren't here, but from other churches, it was beautiful. But I just want to tell you, I don't do this often, but I just want to tell you how God worked in my heart and life. I basically, and by my word, signed on the dotted line that we would give $6,000 Thursday night to have Paul Wilbur. He was in Virginia Beach at the 700 Club, and that was one reason he agreed to drive over and be a part of a small venue for him. And he came, such a man of God, drew no attention to himself. At the end of the night, he was the last one to get in his vehicle in the parking lot except for me. He stayed. His band and group was in the truck, and they were wanting to go eat. And he was standing on the asphalt talking to Kim and James and myself. Just a man of God, and so glad to have him. But anyway, I took the offering, not knowing what was going to happen, and I was looking at my resources in other directions. Didn't know, you know. And the people here on a Thursday night, a school night, you know, about 600, I think. It could have been a few less, a few more. And the offering was $8,140.31. Now, if you don't think that's a miracle, you've just never been a pastor. That's all that is. So I just felt like God said, tell them. And my mom, she affirmed it the night before and told me to get over my doubt that God was going to handle it. So thank you, Mama. Thank you, Jesus. Please stand for the conclusion of the service. We've gone a few minutes over just because people wanted to pray. Isn't that a good reason to go over? Would you give a hand because people wanted to pray this morning? And now if you'd like for someone to pray with you personally as you leave outside this door, or this one, just slide this way and back just to the left of the cafe. You'll see people with bright, shiny faces. They're waiting to pray with you at the well. And then also we have the first-time friends back here in the back. I see Uncle Walt back there underneath the Holiness Unto the Lord sign. And we have a gift bag for you. Just stop by. He's back there in the lavender shirt. He's looking good. And then tomorrow evening, Celebrate Recovery. It was beautiful in our baptismal services today. People from Celebrate Recovery were baptized today. Let's just thank God for what he's doing on Monday evenings. And We would invite you to come tomorrow evening, 6:30, right here where we are. If you'd like to have a free supper, just come. I got a feeling there's going to be a whole lot of green beans and some other nice things that we have taken care of to prepare for you for Celebrate Recovery. So come on and help us finish it off, will you? And now I want to speak this blessing over you. May the peace of God that surpasses all understanding and overwhelms all confusion, may His peace confirm in your soul that you are ready. Go now.